It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Hi, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Mikey, how are you?
Very well. This is going to be our last BFM breakfast conversation. Now, I'm not saying that you are one of two regular contributors who have gone from being deputy leaders of parties to going to be female prime ministers. I'm just saying, you know, I'm happy to have helped, basically is what I'm saying.
Well, you've seen a couple of us through.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that there's necessarily a link there.
I'm sort of saying that. Sort of mollycoddling, you know, I've made sure that everything's paved the way for you there.
Advice has been welcomed, coaching. Mikey, I'm sad that it's our last chat.
Yeah, me too.
I know our paths will keep crossing.
I hope so too. I don't know if I'm ready for a position in the upper levels of government just yet, but you never know. Hey, I'm really sad to be saying goodbye to you. Just know, I think it's been an amazing journey actually having you on the breakfast show, and look where we are now. You're going to go over to France, and you're going to with President Macron, and talk about trying to cage the dragon, essentially, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we're also trying to make sure that we're quite focused as well. You know, no one wants to see the curtailing of the really positive impacts of social media. We want a free and open and accessible internet. We want to protect freedom of speech. And so we're being really quite focused on the eradication of violent extremism online and terrorism online. So just in case there's this red flag for people that it might be broader than that, it's not. What we're also trying to do is bring together world leaders who have been involved in this space before, but also tech companies. So instead of it just being a group of world leaders talking about domestic regulation, instead saying, if we want to prevent some of this activity online, rather than just having a policy around takedown, we actually need the tech companies at the table who can develop the technology to try and prevent it from happening in the first place.
And along with all the other division that's happening in the world, the idea is not to just tell them how bad they've been and to shape up. It's working out a way to understand each other, and so that they don't feel like they're on, you know, that they're getting pushed into the corner with all their billions of dollars. Actually, don't mean to make them sound like they're victims. But what was the moment that where you thought, okay, this is what we need to. This is what we need. Was there a moment where you went, you know, we're going to have to speak to these people?
And
what made you think that was possible?
Right from the beginning, it was a couple of things. This just the signs that obviously early on I thought this feels like what the way that social media platforms have been used in this case feels different to me, and over time we then had the evidence that showed it was designed to be distributed on platforms. The video was varied in multiple ways, so it was then able to get around automatic takedowns. And we know that the impact on people who saw that video has been significant. So it was knowing that 15th of March was different. It was also knowing that so much of what I had looked at internationally was around requiring, you know, within 24-hour periods, certain material to be brought down. And yet, when I look at the community standards of some of these platforms, like Facebook, the rules are already there. Just making sure they're complied with, you know. Actually, the community standards in most cases will be higher than what most countries have in their legislation. So why don't we just try and make sure that those are followed through on? And we can't do that alone. This is a global problem. And so that's really, really early on decided that was what we needed to do. It just took a bit of time to get it off the ground.
And, it must be nice to have a country like France coming in to stand there alongside you know, for an event like that.
Yeah, I spoke to President Macron a couple of weeks ago and said, look, this is what's a bit of detail on what's happened here and what we know, and I know you're already doing work in this space. What do you, you know, be very keen to work together, and that's worked out.
Wow, just another thing that I guess you would never have ever imagined in your life that you would ever be doing that, having a conversation with the President of France about how to tidy up social media platforms.
I wouldn't. And look, this work has been going on at the King of Jordan, and Jordan has actually been doing quite a bit of work.
I saw a little bit of that while he was here. He said some really, really amazing stuff. when he was here?
Yeah, so that was his brother that came out, the Crown Prince. Yeah, he did. Yeah, and so, yeah, you're absolutely right. The work that's been going on in this space, both in tech, but also just in around creating harmonious societies when you have different faiths and religions, that's something they're very, very thoughtful on.
Is there anything? I was a bit worried. You're calling it the call for Christchurch, or the Christchurch
the
Christchurch summit. The fact that it's Christchurch, is that going to sort of get under anyone's sort of? Is that going to cause any problems? I mean, does Christchurch does sound a bit churchy?
No, it hasn't. I think there's thankfully enough place names that people automatically know that. And you know, we did think about that a little bit. You know, is this something that Christchurch would equally want slated back? But it is a positive. It is moving towards trying to create global change in a positive way. And so many of these calls usually are based on cities. And so there is a bit of a general practice there.
And when does that happen? When are we going to do that?
I leave at the end of next week. Right. I'll be on the ground for a couple of days and then back. So it's going to be quite quick. But we've put a lot of work's gone on in the lead up. So hopefully effective.
Well, good luck for that, and all the very best. And I hope that goes really well. Tell us why you ditched the capital gains tax now, Jacinda. I'm telling you now.
Not for want of trying.
I was bummed, and you've come out and said that you couldn't get it passed over the line, and that New Zealand First wouldn't do it. Now are you supposed to do that? Are you supposed to say that you're a coalition partner who wouldn't help?
Well, I've said that we were.
Sort of said it now, though, haven't you?
My job was to form consensus. That parties all had positions going in, and I was unable to form the consensus. And look, it's clear that Labor's position never changed, and I wanted to make that clear. Our position didn't change. The Greens always had a firm position. New Zealand First had a different one coming in as well. They haven't spoken favourably on capital gains, and their position didn't change. We had hoped to be able to form consensus. We tested a range of options. We really did bounce around a range of different ideas on how we could achieve a form of capital gains tax, and none of those were successful. So look, I'm just speaking openly because it will be clear to people. And I want to know, of course, that our position did not change.
Deputy Prime Minister's not annoyed that you're sort of saying it wasn't us, it was him?
No, I think they're relatively open about their position on it. I do need to be frank. People will want to know, did I or Labor change our position? We did not, and I think I need to be clear on that.
All right. Hey, now, since it's our last conversation together, I want to ask you something a little personal, Jacinda Ardern. I know we last time saw each other was at the 50th anniversary party, the BFM 95, BFM Gold party at the power station. Yeah. I want to ask you, because I've got so many beautiful BFM memories, and it's been such a ridiculously hefty portion of my life. I want to know about, because I know that some people sort of, like, oh, she's a, you know, maybe you play to the crowd a wee bit, but you love BFM, and I'd like to know your first BFM memory.
Actually, probably, I would say, because of course I didn't go to Auckland University. I went to Waikato. And so for me, my memories are quite...
That's where Prime Ministers are made, Waikato University, apparently.
Yeah. and so my memories are a little bit later in the piece. It was when I first moved to Auckland, and I would play BFM just when I was as a new Auckland resident. It was a little bit later than most, but still, it was almost, that's why I associate it with Auckland so much, because it was when I first arrived. That means it's part of my Auckland view now.
Mm. Wonderful. Hey, like I say, it's been amazing having you on The Breakfast Show for this time round, on my last stint on Breakfast, and I wish you all the very best.
I've seen people come and go, because I've seen you come and
I know, this is my fourth go,
is there going to be a number five?
No, there won't be, there will not be, no, I'm cutting the apron strings, and because that's, come on, Come on, stop hogging it, Mike. But like I say, it's been really amazing having you a part of the show, and I'm awfully proud of you as a politician. People continually, every time we speak to each other, call me a bloody lefty, and I'm proud to be if you're the Prime Minister, to be honest.
Oh, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. And look, I'll always associate you with BFM because the first time I switched it on, you were there. So that's it for me.
Oh, how long did you listen for? First time.
I'm going to admit that the first time I ever listened,
Jesus, shut up,
was epic. It just went on and on and on, and that's when I knew I wasn't listening to traditional commercial radio.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, thank you. Thanks for being part of the show. I will speak to you when I speak to you next.
Talk soon. Bye, Mikey.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.